Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 18. A snippet from the very famous chapter in the Bible. I'll begin with verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look to the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak under his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab and all the way to Jezreel. It's a very, very interesting story, a true story, by the way, and there are many lessons for us that we may learn from. Last week, I spoke to you about the power of the name of the Lord Jesus and the power that comes from having the word of our Lord Jesus in our lives. Today, we're going to touch on the subject of prayer. You see, many say they pray. But then, it turns out that as many as they are who pray, there are many who have different results. You understand what I'm saying? Some people say, "I keep praying and nothing seems to happen, I give up." Others seem to pray only just once, and whatever they ask for, God answers. The question is not that the Word of God fails, is that maybe we do not know the Word of God enough so that we connect with God. So may we learn from this man of God who has a proven track record. You see, Elijah was such a man that not only did he hear the word of God, having heard the word of God, he also obeyed. See the difference? Many of us know the word of God, but the question is, how many of us actually obey the word of God as God expects us? When God told Elijah, "Elijah, tell these disobedient, rebellious, sinful people of Israel that until they repent, there'd be no rain." For 3.5 years, there was no rain. And because it was Elijah who made the pronouncement on behalf of God, the king was very upset with him, and the king was looking for him. Not to say sorry and help ask him to pray to God, but the king wanted his head. And then God sent a word to Elijah and said, "Elijah, tell the king, I'm going to send the rain." Elijah said, "Are you serious? The guy will kill me." But nevertheless, he was obedient. And he went and told the king. And he told the king to assemble the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. 450 of the Baals and 400 of the Asherahs assemble on Mount Carmel. We're going to have a power encounter. And there, Elijah challenged those false gods. "If you are real, confirm your reality by a demonstration of your power." And so these guys all hail up and down, nothing happened. And then, as you know the low story, if you don't know the story, good homework for you. Please go home and read 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah told the people of Israel, "How long are you going to waver between two positions. Either you believe or you don't believe. If you believe God, then obey God. If you believe God, then worship God. If you believe God, then surrender your life to God. Don't do a bit of this and don't do a bit of that. All you do is corrupt the name of God and corrupt your faith in God. So he told them, do not waver between two opinions. Either you believe in him or you don't believe in him. Either you are with God or you are against God. You cannot say, I am neutral. Brothers and sisters, that applies to us as well. And then, having told them to call their opinions, to cut a long story short, Elijah demonstrated that the word of God, his God, is the true God. Because upon the proclamation of God's word, he demonstrated the power of God's presence. He called fire from heaven. And when the people saw the fire that came from heaven, not only did it burn up the sacrifice, the slaughtered bull and the sticks with it, that was used to burn up the thing, but also the stones that are around it and the water that had soaked the sacrifice to make it much more difficult to be burnt. Having demonstrated the power of God, the people then said, the Lord Yahweh, he is our God. Having rededicated their lives to God, Elijah having led the people of Israel to rededicate their lives to God, to recommit their confession is in the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, Elijah is about to demonstrate the second half of the promise. He said, the rain is about to come. At that time, the sun was as shiny as you see the sky outside. Perhaps just as hot, I don't know. Nevertheless, cloud or no cloud, Elijah went to the king. And verse 41 says, Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. Was there thunder? No. Was there lightning? Absolutely not. There wasn't even a cloud in the sky. So what led Elijah to say that? You see, he did not look at the circumstances around him with his natural eyes. He did not look at the situation around him with his physical eyes. What did he look with? He looked with eyes of faith. He heard with eyes of faith, brothers and sisters. That's what we are called to be. If we are Christians, it is because we have faith in Christ. As I've said to you before, the Christian people, they are the confessing community. We confess our faith in Jesus Christ. And Elijah, he sees with eyes of faith. He hears with eyes of faith. So he says to the king sees nothing, he hears nothing. All he sees is blue skies. Probably like Willie Nelson singing blue skies all over me. And yet, the king listens to what Elijah says. Why? Because he has seen the power. Amen? Now, you may not have seen the power, but you have heard of the power of God. Many, many times you've heard of brothers and sisters coming up to the stage and testifying to the reality of our God. So you cannot say you don't know. You got no excuse. And here we find Elijah telling the king, I hear the sound of distant thunder coming. The rain is coming. Eat, drink, get your chariot, hitch it up to the horse, and get going before you get bogged down in the floods. For 3.5 years there was drought, and yet with eyes of faith, Elijah could see the flood coming. Brothers and sisters, if we have the same faith, we can do the same. How is that possible? That is because Elijah heard the word of God, believed the word of God, and held on to the word of God. That is why it is so important that we have the word of God in our lives. Please, if you have your Bible, turn to verse 1 of the same chapter. Verse 1 says, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. He didn't just hear the words, go, and he went. He heard the words, go, because I am sending the rain. Brothers and sisters, when you hear God speak to you, value every word. Don't just hear a bit of this and hear a bit of that. Here it says, I will send the rain. So Elijah held on to the word of God. And having seen the fire come, having seen the people repent, having seen the people rededicate their lives, he knows there is still work more to be done. And so he says, King, get moving. The rain is coming. Why? Because he held on to the word of God. Brothers and sisters, today's message title is about faith and prayer. Faith holds on to the word of God. Our prayer is praying according to the word of God. Amen? If you pray by the word of God, you are holding on to the promises of God. And the word of God, help me, what does it say? The word of God never fails. Say never. The word of God never fails. So if you pray according to the word of God, it will never fail. It will always come to pass. I'm talking about faith and prayer. When we pray, don't pray, Lord, I'm looking for my third wife or third husband. God says it's not in the Bible. Forget it. Elijah. He had the courage to confront even the king, even at the risk of death. Why? Because he believed that ultimately the greatest thing on earth is to be able to hear the word of God, live by the word of God, and hold on to the word of God. Because the word of God gives life that no man on earth can decide upon. Because our eternity is not on earth. Our eternity is in the hands of our God. So measure your success, not according to what you have. Measure your success according to who you know. So Elijah tells the king, get going. The king, having seen the power of God demonstrated to Elijah, he believed. He went, especially when it's to eat and drink. So he went off to eat and drink. But what did Elijah do? Verse 42 tells us, so Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah, see, while others go in and enjoy themselves, what did Elijah do? Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. You see, to draw near to God sometimes requires an effort. You have instant tea, you have instant coffee, but you don't have instant access to God sometimes. Sometimes we call upon the name of Jesus and you feel close to him. Other times, we are so challenged. It may not instantly come. Sometimes it may be a struggle. Sometimes it requires an effort. Why? It is the devil working against us. At all times, we who have faith in Christ, we battle an unseen enemy. He is called Satan. That is why the Bible tells us we need to fight the good fight of faith. Not just one day, not just someday, but each and every moment of our lives when we are awake. We can be so easily tempted just to slack off and to be a bit lukewarm. I'll say, well, one of these Sundays, it doesn't matter if I don't go to church. Nobody will notice me. But God says, Don't you think I can see you? Elijah, what did he do? He climbed up to the top of Carmel. And having climbed to the top of Carmel, what does he do but pray? See, having received the word of God, he now prays on the word of God and holds on to what God has promised. And he goes on his knees, we are told. He goes to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. What does that mean? What does that mean? He goes up to the top of Mount Carmel, bows down, bends down, put his face between his knees. Physically, is describing to us the posture of prayer. Do you know how it looks like? Some people, you ask them to stand up. Why do I need to stand? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you say, come lift up holy hands. I'm not the kind of tough people. Ask me to lift holy hands. It's only what the Bible says in the Old Testament. Or in the New Testament, maybe. But I don't feel like lifting up my hands. So very often, we pray according to what we like, what we want, what suits us, what pleases us. But if you want to be in that position that Elijah was, it is the posture of earnestness. It is the posture of being focused. It is the posture of being surrendered to God. See, until you really have faith, you will not be earnest. Unless you really have faith, you will not be focused upon the word of God that God has promised. Unless you are serious about God, you will not be surrendered. If you are wondering why your life is not as victorious as you think it can be, perhaps you should try the recipe that Elijah had tried. His name is great, you know. God, Yahweh is my father. That's all right. Yahweh is my God. Elijah, having climbed up to the top of Carmel, which is quite a high mountain, even though he's tired, even though he's restless, tired and exhausted, he goes onto his knees, falls to his face on the ground, and calls to God in prayer. I'm not saying you have to kneel down and smell the carpet. But I'm talking about the spiritual principle of being surrendered to God, being earnest in our prayer, being persistent in our prayer, and praying according to the promises that God has made to us according to the scripture. As many as are the promises of God, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And what do? We say the amen. We have to believe the word of God and say amen to what God says. This is what confession is. Homologia, saying the same words that the Bible says. So Elijah goes onto his knees, face to the ground, and he begins to pray. And then he says, Gehazi, servant, go and have a look. See, he's so focused on talking with God. He's so focused in communing with God. He doesn't even lift up his eyes to see whether there's a cloud in the sky or not. He says, servant, go and check it out for me. He says, blue skies, master. Blue skies. Okay. Keeps praying. Servant, go and check. Master, not a cloud in the sky. No, go back. We are told that seven times, verse 43 says, go back and look toward the sea, he told the servant. He went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. And what does Elijah do? Elijah doesn't say, oh, looks as though maybe this time it won't work. Did he say that? No, he said, maybe I got a wrong date. Maybe. Oh, Lord, how come you're not answering my prayer? Does he say any of those negative things? No. Each time he gives an instruction to the servant, and the servant comes back with a bad report. The servant comes back with a negative report. What does Elijah do? Elijah says, go back. He turns back the negative report. Someone says, oh, you've been healed. But my doctor says, I've got this bad report. You say, what do you say? You say, I reject your doctor's bad report. I believe in the report of God. See, Elijah, again and again, seven times means the perfect number, the complete number. Each time a negative report came, he turned it back. You and I, we should do the same. We ask for prayer. We say, oh Lord, please heal me. And you went forward for the altar call. You were prayed for and you felt good about it. And you go home and you feel a tingle in the spot where you were healed for. Oh, maybe it's come back. Maybe I'm not healed. Oh dear, oh Lord, I'm not healed. The moment you say that, what are you saying? You're saying, Lord, I don't believe what you said. I believe what the devil says. Your faith is in the devil, not in God. Surprise, surprise, you're not healed. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Every time you're prayed for, you should water that healing with words of faith, with confessions of faith, not by saying, oh, I don't think it is healed. I think it's coming back. Oh, look, there's pain here, there's pain there. Before long, you're back to square one. Why? You had no faith. You did not water that seed of healing with waters of faith. Hello? Elijah was different. Every time a negative report came, he turned it back. Go and look. Master, it's blue skies. Go and look for that cloud. Seven times he pushed it again and again and again until the servant came and said, oh, Master, there's a little cloud in the sky to the west. The size of a man's hand. What will it do? As far as Elijah is concerned, it is good enough. Because a change means something is happening. Amen? So when you're prayed for and you feel a change, what do? You say, thank you, Lord. Something is happening. That encourages your faith. Don't say, oh, I'll wait until, if it's really working, if the doctor says it works, then I will say it is healed. Brothers and sisters, your doctor is not your master. God is your master. Seven times, Elijah turned back the bad report until the good report comes. Why? Because he has heard from the Lord, I will send the rain. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. He prays according to the word of God. He expects the situation to change according to the word of God. How we respond when the devil attacks us, having received the promises of God, determines the final result. That is why it's so important that we need to fight the good fight of faith. Solomon said, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you believe in the word of God, you say, I will believe in the word of God. I will believe in the word of God. I will believe in the word of God. If God says I'm healed, I will be healed. If you love that, if you speak life into your promise, what happens? You will eat its fruit. Does it make sense? If you say, oh, God says I'm going to be healed, but look, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. What would you get? You will eat the fruit of what you said. It is not happening. It will not happen. Hello? What you say is very important. Having been prayed over, having received the word of God into your life, you can hold on to it and speak life to it, or you can reject the word and kill it. Life and death is in the power of whose tongue? Say, my tongue. Not somebody else's tongue. They can curse you. You say, I'm a child of God. Every curse against me shall bounce away from me and go back to where it came from. Amen. We are blessed beyond the curse. Our Lord Jesus said, have faith in God. Amen. Our Lord Jesus said it, you know. He says, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Those are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. There our Lord Jesus says, if you speak with your mouth and do not doubt in your heart, then what you say will happen. Awesome power in what we say. Is that right? Truly I tell you, if anyone says, you see, it is a spoken word. Your expression through your mouth is very important. Don't dare say, oh, well, God knows it. I will just wait for it. Why? When you dare not open your mouth, you are ashamed of your God. Hello? If you dare not open your mouth, you are ashamed of your God. So please do not expect anything from God. That's what the Apostle James says. If you doubt, don't expect anything from God. So our Lord Jesus says, whatever problem is in front of you, whatever mountain you're facing, speak to that mountain. So whatever problem you have come with this morning, you say, this whatever problem is this, you mountain of a problem, I'm speaking to you right now in Jesus' name. And you say, if you speak it and do not doubt, but believe that whatever you say will happen because you have asked in Jesus' name, then it will be done for you. Whatever you say will be done for you. Learn to speak in a way that God wants us to speak. Amen? Now, I'm not giving you my ideas. Be convinced of what God says. Be convinced of what Jesus says. Perhaps you may like to take all the scripture references that I've given you this morning. Go home, meditate on it. Martin Luther said, some people fast and pray for a whole year and nothing happens. Whereas all they need perhaps is to meditate on the word of God for maybe just half a day or maybe half a morning. And lo and behold, they get awesome results. Why? The power is not in how pious you are. The power is in the word of God. Amen? Hold on to the word of God. And so let's go to verse 44 now. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. With that, it was good enough. A change of circumstance. Immediately, Elijah puts his faith into action and gives further instructions to the king. King, stop eating, stop drinking, stop resting. Get onto your chariot. Get moving. He now dares to command the king. It's about putting your faith into action. Faith without works is dead. If you really believe, then put it into action. And so he got the king to get moving. And then what are we told? Verse 45. Meanwhile, from blue skies with just a tiny little puff of a cloud to the west, the size of a man's hand. Now the clouds will fill the whole sky, and the whole sky is darkened. The sun is cut off. And so the skies are dark, heavy with cloud. And before you could even, horse, get going. Boom. The rain came. And the Bible says, heavy rain came. It began with blue skies and faith. And then comes a change of the situation. And before you realize it, the entire promise had come to pass. So just because you don't see the entire promise come to pass does not mean that it will not come. First, you must begin with the faith, that is to believe the seed that is in your heart. Then to see a change in circumstance. And having seen a change in circumstance, you do not give up, but keep going. For example, you put a seed into the ground and you say, oh, nothing happened. That's the end of your promise, isn't it? You see, you put a seed in the ground, it sprouts up, and then all week, you say, oh, I'll give up. I wonder whether there are any roots. You pull it up. What happens? No wonder it dies. Because by your action, you show that you have no faith. Here, Elijah began with just the word of God. Verse 1 in chapter 18, the Lord says, I will send the rain. At that time, blue skies. And then he acted upon the word of God, took on the false prophets, took on what was false, demonstrated what was true, led the people through repentance, and he believed that repentance will come restoration. Repentance opens the door to restoration and the blessings of God. If you want the blessings of God, you must come to where it starts. Turn away from what is false and turn towards what is true. What do you call that? Changing your mind. In other words, repentance. You'd be wondering, the next bit, verse 45, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Now listen to the next bit. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Jacob all the way to Jezreel. He ran Ahab. Elijah ran faster than Ahab. He ran all 17 miles, which in today's money is about, 30 kilometers. About 30 kilometers. And he could run faster than a horse. Why? Because the hand of God was upon him. I said it was strange. Why? Have you ever wondered why? That God, having demonstrated the awesome miracle on Mount Carmel, now needs to have another miracle in front of King Ahab. So as Ahab was, all the while he sees Elijah in front of him. Come on, horse, faster, faster, let's chase him. All the while he sees this guy, cloak tucked up, running faster than him. Have you ever wondered why? To Ahab, it was a strange sight. To Elijah, it was a supernatural experience. But to you and I, what does it mean? Have you wondered it? You see, even though Elijah called fire from heaven, powerfully manifesting God's presence, and when all the people of Israel repented before God, changed their way of thinking, no longer moved between two opinions, but confessed that Yahweh is God, Yahweh is God. Nevertheless, the leader of the people, the king himself, King Ahab, he was not moved to repentance. You see, there are some whose hearts can be so hardened. There are some whose hearts are so hardened that they are not moved even by the most wonderful of miracles. May it not be said of us that we have such hardened hearts. Sometimes pride can so blind us that we can't see where we have gone wrong, so that we remain where we are. Sometimes pride so hardens our heart, even though we know that we are on the wrong track, yet we refuse to budge and change our way of thinking. Understand what I'm saying? So here the Lord is giving Ahab another opportunity. Previously, an awesome display before the entire nation. Now an awesome display before just one person. Here it speaks of the mercy, the goodness, and the grace of our God. Whether it be for many or for one, He still loves and cares for us. Just because others see answers to prayers does not mean that God has forgotten you. Brothers and sisters, no matter who you are, no matter what situation you are in, our God is a good God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a gracious God. He does not give up on us and say, these guys, I'll give up on them. And He dismisses us. Even in the most idolatrous and rebellious and ungrateful of men like King Ahab, yet God was showing mercy to him. I'm talking about a good God. I'm talking about a merciful God. He does not come to condemn us. He does not come to reject us and give up on us because we did not obey. He just seeks that we open our eyes to know who He is. Surrender our lives so that something better might come our way. As our sister said earlier, our sister Kazuko, when you go to sleep, hand everything that you have on your heart to God. Why? If it is too full with other things, God can't fill it with His things. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter 5. It says, Elijah was a man, I'm reading from verse 17. Elijah was a man just like us. In other words, Elijah was not perfect. He had his ups and downs. He had his good days and he had his bad days. Hello? We're members of the same club, right? In other words, if Elijah can see wonderful miracles in his lives, so can we. Say amen. If you believe it, say amen. If you don't say it, that means you're not going to see it. Because you don't believe in the word of God. When you come to church, don't be so pious. When you come to church, open your heart and let God speak to you and respond to God. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would rain, and it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Verse 18, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. But the focus is not on the rain this time, in James 5. The focus is on the man Elijah. He was a man just like us. He had his ups and downs just like us. He was no more perfect. He was just a human being like you and I. Prone to ups and downs, prone to sin, prone to making mistakes. Subsequently, in the subsequent chapters, you discover that he went to such depths of depression, he wanted to kill himself. Elijah was a man just like us. The difference between the way we pray and the way he prayed was that when he prayed, his faith connected him to God. Now, if we pray in such a way that our faith connects us to his God, then it's the same Almighty God. Amen? It is not about who we are. It's about how, whether we are connected to the same Almighty God that Elijah was connected to. Here in James chapter 5, we are encouraged to believe that it is possible that we too can connect to the same God that Elijah connected. And just as he worked signs and wonders and miracles in the name of the Almighty God, so can we. And may you say? And the Bible says, not only do we just read about Elijah, but we are to follow his example. He heard the word of God and he obeyed the word of God. So what shall we do? We shall hear the word of God and obey the word of God. He prayed earnestly. So should we pray earnestly. He prayed focused upon the promises of God. So should we pray focused upon the promises of God. Many people pray and do not get answers because they are focused on themselves. Lord, I want this, I want that, I want this, and I want that. You think it's a shopping list going to Woolworths or supermarket, something like that. When you pray, it's not of your shopping list. It's about seeking God. Because if you first seek God and his righteousness and his kingdom, everything you need, he'll give to you. You'll have more than 10 supermarkets all in one hit. But so very often our prayers is our shopping list. Lord, I want this, I want that, I don't want this, I don't want that, I want this now, I don't want it tomorrow. It's all about us, me and my. When we pray according to the word of God, it's about your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. Because success is measured in what God wants done in our lives. He knows what is best for us. Amen? And so, we are told that we do not want you to be lazy, brothers and sisters, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Once I was ministering in a church overseas, and I've said, look, I'm going to pray for some people. Anyone with prayer needs, come forward. And the first guy to come forward was like a mountain. He was a huge guy, towering over me. I said, what's the problem? His problem was even bigger than him. He was blind in one eye. Sorry, it was blind in both eyes. huge guy, and it's a huge problem. He was blind. I said, oh no, Lord, the first one to pray for is blindness. So I went to pray. The pastor came with me. He was my interpreter. So I prayed for him, and I told him, put your faith into action. Now, can you see the lines on my hand? Nothing happened. So I asked him to put his faith in action. So I told the pastor, never mind. There's so many others, 100 plus people wanting to be prayed for. No, sorry. The congregation of 100 plus 200, a huge number in the front, wanted to be prayed for. So I said, we'll come back to him, and we move around and pray for others, and we move around and pray for others as people got healed. Then the abyss of excitement, then we come back to him. But Bo, can you see the lines on my hand? Nothing. I'll go and pray for somebody else, come back, pray for somebody else, and come back. After a while, the pastor asked me, what are you doing? I said, every time we go there, nothing happens. So I said, well, I'm applying the word of God. By faith and patience, we shall see the promises of God. He said, oh, okay. So we kept praying for, by the time, after a while, 45 minutes or an hour, most of the people who got prayed for were healed. They were jumping up and down. The excitement was buzzing around. The sense of faith was rising. Then we came back to this guy again. The pastor this time asked, can you see my hand? Can you see the lines? You know what he said? I can see your gold ring. The moment it was on the microphone. I can see the gold ring. The whole church, boom, burst with excitement. And we were on the second story. It was I think wooden floor. So everybody began to jump and shout. We're all excited. The whole place was shaking. The pastor said, please stop jumping. But once you see a miracle, the limits of your understanding gets blown away. And because of that, we were able to get organized the National Crusade, which I've told some of you have been hearing about it. It's not that I was very pious. It's just that I was able to connect to the same God that Elijah connected to. And the Bible says, you and I, we can do the same. Let us pray. Father, we've come around your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit speak to us. Speak to us. Show us the barriers of faith in our own lives. That we may speak to these barriers, rebuke these barriers, and rid these barriers from our lives. That we may connect to our Father in heaven through Christ Jesus the Son. Lord Jesus, in you, we are the righteousness of God. And may every child of God here say with me, in Christ, I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus, I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am right with God. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's arise and worship our God.
We sing our hope. My hope is built on love.